Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
40 million voters in England and Wales have had their chance to cast ballots in the local elections there, with the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak facing the prospect of losing up to half the Tory council seats in England. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Henry Riley, who's reporter with LBC in London, and Professor John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. Henry, first to you, as the votes are counted, what are the key election results you're seeing so far?
Well, good morning, Claire. It's a bit of an early picture at the moment. We've had about a third of the local council results through. Still, some of those key elections with regards to the mayoralty haven't come in. There's two Conservative mayoralties, which they're really hoping to cling on to in the West Midlands with Andy Street and also in Tees Valley with Ben Houchen, both Conservatives, but actually pretty loath to use the label if you're to look at some of their election leaflets and campaigning. But look, some of the results that have come in so far clearly are very strongly pointing towards Labour. I think the most obvious place to start is the by-election we've had in Blackpool South, which has flipped from the Conservatives to Labour. Pretty unexpected, but nonetheless, I think the swing is what is crucial here. Just over 26%, one of the biggest swings we have seen. What is interesting, Claire, is we have these stats about sort of the biggest swings we've seen since the Second World War. And actually, these are seeming to come around every few months. Labour getting record swings is becoming almost a sort of mainstream event that happens in UK politics at the moment. Elsewhere in other parts of the country, I mean, Redditch is one particular area in Worcestershire. Just to give you a sort of flavour, it's a bellwether seat. Since it was created, the constituency in the late 90s, it's always gone the way of the governing party and Labour hoovering up a lot of Conservative councillors there. The only sort of slight issue for the party, and I don't think they'll dwell on it too much, is in Harlow, where they deployed. It's sort of just outside of London in Essex, small town. And I mean, the Conservatives narrowly by one seat managed to hold on to that particular council. It's seen also as a bellwether seat. But the local MP there, Robert Halfen, I think has slightly overstated it when he said it was the greatest comeback since Lazarus. So right. Clearly a decent result, but maybe they're dwelling on it slightly too much.
OK, and in cases like that where Labour are seen to have blips in the context of what's happening nationwide across England, is that being put down to the Labour Party stance on Gaza?
Well, no, actually. I think in Harlow in particular, there are various unique factors in that the local MP who's standing down, who I referenced with that interesting quote, is actually very popular locally. He's, until very recently, a government minister, but actually a rare breed who's quite popular among the public in terms of net approval ratings. And so I think that particular seat can't be put down to that. But there are seats in areas with large Muslim populations. So, for example, there was a council seat near a very large mosque in Newcastle, which is being put down potentially to the Gaza situation. Keir Starmer said on an interview on LBC, funnily enough, that, I mean, very early on about cutting off water and aid to Gaza, which was still plastered on election leaflets, even at this election. So there's there, and also areas like Bolton in the north of England, which the party seems to have slightly suffered as a result.
OK, well, Henry, we'll let you get back to it, because I know this is a marathon count, which won't be over until some stage tomorrow, if even you get to the end of it at that point. So thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us, Henry Riley there from LBC. And I want to get the reaction of John Tong now. So John, your response to what you've seen, because I mean, you know, that swing with the by-election is extraordinary, isn't it? 26% to Labour.
This is a pretty disastrous set of results for the Conservative Party. This was a disaster foretold for them, it should be said. I mean, they are trailing by about 20 percentage points in the polls behind Labour, and that's basically what we're seeing materialise here with the sets of results that we've had so far. If we look at the by-election, which perhaps was the most important contest, given it was a parliamentary by-election, I mean, Labour managed to achieve their highest percentage share of the vote, 59% in that constituency, in the constituency's 70-odd year history. So in many ways a stunning performance by Labour. But as Henry indicated, these swings from Conservative to Labour at by-elections have become so frequent, they become almost routine, they become normalised. But that's the state of play in British politics. In terms of the local elections, certainly Labour making big gains. I think what will please Labour most is they're making gains right across the country, from Hartlepool in northeast England, right down to Rushmore, down in Hampshire, near the south coast. So, you know, the good geographical spread. It is true, you can pick holes in some aspects of the results so far. There is a Muslim backlash against Labour. It's quite clear in places like Burnley, Pendle. You'll probably see those results today where you'll see it, but you've already seen it in Bolton and Oldham, where there's high Muslim ward populations, and there the Labour Party has definitely underperformed. You could also pick holes in the parliamentary by-election. The turnout was abysmal, even for a by-election, at only one in three voters. At least normally at by-elections you get to about one in two voters who will turn out. But, you know, the sum of the parts is the Conservatives are almost certainly heading out of office in 6 months' time. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to see how you can turn this round in the time available.
We were talking again this morning earlier on the programme about this diplomatic spat between the Irish government and the British government. And we were told that where the problem lies, where it will continue to lie for Ireland and for that row, is in the pushback by the Tories against the Reform Party. Do you see that continuing, given what we've seen in these results so far?
Yes, I mean, Reform are a big threat to the Conservatives. It's true that Reform do take some votes from Labour, but Reform predominantly take votes from the Conservatives. They almost overhaul the Conservatives in the parliamentary by-election in Blackpool South yesterday. Reform basically argue two things. One, for tougher controls on immigration or migration, and secondly, to have a fuller, harder Brexit. I don't think that Rishi Sunak, I mean, he's put so much faith in this Rwanda policy, and yet there's still not been a single involuntary deportation to Rwanda, and there may still not be this side of the election. So to put so much faith in a single policy plank was always risky, and ultimately I think the electorate will be more interested in how the economy performs, and there is the problem for the Conservatives that many of the electors have stopped listening to them. You know, it's very reminiscent in many ways of the last time the Conservatives were losing office in the mid-1990s, when actually their stewardship of the economy wasn't that bad from 1995 to 1997, but because the electorate had stopped listening to them, we had the Tony Blair landslide. And the swings away from the Conservatives to Labour are very reminiscent. They're on virtually the same identical scale as the swings we saw in the mid-1990s. So without overdoing the parallels, I think that's the scenario we're in. Reform just makes things that much more difficult for the Conservative Party to come back.
Now, Penny Mordaunt, that great line which I see on the front of the Telegraph today, "I'm not going to be installed in number 10 like a new boiler." But there is a real risk to Rishi Sunak here, right?
I think that the Conservatives will be wary of installing a new leader, because I think there's a feeling, first of all, who would want the job? Who would want to take the Conservatives into what could be a crushing election defeat?
Penny might.
They could end up with some of the blame for it. But I think, yes, it's true. But I think the sensible thing is for potential contenders to stay their hand and wait until mid-November, assume the Conservatives will go down to a heavy defeat, and then you obviously take your chance. In terms of triggering a leadership contest, it is true that if the results remain bad for the Conservatives over the next 48 hours, there may be further disquiet over Rishi Sunak's leadership. But in terms of the mechanism of it, you need 52 Conservative MPs, that is 15% of the Conservative parliamentary party, to know confidence Rishi Sunak, to write letters to the chair of the Conservative backbench committee, Sir Graham Brady, to actually trigger a formal contest against Rishi Sunak. I don't actually see that happening. It could be completely wrong, and this could happen on, you know, on the looming bank holiday Monday. But I think that no one wants it this side of the election. And secondly, I don't think people really think it will make a huge difference to the election outcome at this stage.
But John, if there's a real threat to him, if he perceives that in the coming days, he might just call the election to stave it off.
He could do, but I mean, people have been saying this for some time now. I mean, people were saying, oh, we might as well go to the country on the 2nd of May and coincide the general election with the local elections. Well, the Conservatives will be looking at wreckage this morning if that had been the case. If he goes in the summer, there's still insufficient time to turn it round. Whereas if you hold off as long as possible, first of all, you might wait for something to turn up. It's always possible that some sort of unforeseen Labour Party implosion. Secondly, if the economy is improving and inflation is coming down, and people are feeling a bit better off because of cuts in national insurance, then that will have more effect come the autumn. And also there's the personal aspect, the pride aspect, the longevity of the position. The longer you hold on, the longer you've been Prime Minister. So it's not a sort of Liz Truss almost level of brevity holding the office. So there's plenty of reasons to assume that the election will be mid-November. I still think it will be, rather than a summer contest.
John, we'll let you get back to those results as they come in. John Tong there, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. Coming up next, from cheddar to camembert, we're going to continue our key ingredients series with Chef Brian McDermott.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.